You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to this edition of the Irish Racing Podcast on Sunday, February the 5th. Luckily, Punchestown has passed its early morning inspection at 8 o'clock and the County Kildare venue gets the go-ahead, which is great news for jumping fans today going to the track, because Duvan is set to run in the Grade 2, the Tide Cottage Chase, at 3 o'clock. Either side of that, we've got some very competitive races, none more so than the Pertemps Qualifier, which comes up an hour earlier at 2 o'clock. Add on top of that an intriguing cross-country event and several other decent novices races, and we've got plenty of races to get stuck into here today at Punchestown. On to the first race of the afternoon then, which comes up at 1:30. It's a listed contest for the novices and it brings together a small but very select field. All the eyes are going to be here on Chilos Emery from the William Mullins stable. Quite rightly too as well. He was hugely impressive on his hurdling debut at Navan back in the middle of December. And although he hasn't been seen out since, this very much appears to be a stepping stone on towards the Cheltenham Festival. Of course, which race he ends up running in, your guess is as good as mine, being as he's trained by the master Irish trainer. But his form as it stands looks very solid indeed. Back in second was Joey Sasser from the Noel Mead stable, who of course subsequently has gone on himself to win a decent contest at Leopardstown next time out. It was a little bit unlucky last time out in the Grade 2 at Leopardstown last week behind Let's Dance when he made a bad mistake down the back straight. So he obviously is the key form line to Cheerless Emery's claims here. I do like the way this horse quickened appreciably away from the back of the second last on his latest performance. That turn of foot could be seen to very good effect here today. Mick Jazz looks to be his main threat, although I do have a sneaky suspicion that Mick Jazz might be a handicap project down the line and he might be a horse better served by a stronger run affair in a big field. That's my theory with him. But Cheerless Emery, hugely impressive last time out, gets a vote there in race number one.
Race two.
On to the big betting race then of the afternoon, which is the Pertemps Qualifier, which comes up at 2 o'clock over 3 miles. And Willie Mullins looks as though he's got a very strong hand here, having the first two in the betting, then the Shape of the Crafty Butcher and Isle of Hope and Dreams. Now, the Crafty Butcher, of course, comes here on the back of a little bit of a compensation mission, because he was balloted out, unfortunately, of his latest run in the Thiestes Chase. Prior to that, he finished second in the Paddy Power Chase at Leopardstown. So it's quite clear that this horse remains in excellent nick. And, of course, off his old hurdle mark of 128, he should be knocking at the door here quite firmly. Island Hope and Dreams, well, he finished runner-up in the Leopardstown qualifier behind Electric Concord over the Christmas period. And he was a little bit unlucky not to win that on that occasion, because he didn't get going until late. Heavy ground shouldn't be a problem to him. And, of course, he's got no weight on his back with Dally Mullins riding. However, there are a couple of horses at big prices I'm quite keen on here with regards perhaps backing them at fancy odds just to have a bit of fun to get him in the frame. And that's one of them is Carrick Cathal from the Gordon Elliott stable. Now, Gordon's got quite a few runners in this race, so I'm not really sure what the agendas are. But providing Carrick Cathal is running on its merits, he'd had every chance of being competitive on the pick of his form. Go back to the stall when he beat May Fitzjack on heavy ground. He looked really strong in the finish on that occasion. And he didn't run at all badly in a listed race when we last saw him behind the likes of Peregrine Run and Screaming Rose. Of course, Electric Concord was third that day. And he went on to take the qualifier itself at Leopardstown the last time we saw him. So he's been mixing it with some decent horses in recent times. He hasn't run for 119 days, but providing he's fit enough to do himself justice and indeed is given the green light to run on his merits and carry Cathal, I'd imagine, well, I do think he's a big price at 25 to 1 this morning. The other one to mention at a price. It's the bottom one here, first to Boogie. Now, this horse has got absolutely no chance of getting into the final itself. So you'd imagine that Connections will let this horse run on its merits. And because he's got such a fantastic record here at Punchestown, never been out of the frame in four starts, including a victory on his last visit here to the County Kildare venue, I think he'd had every chance of causing a little bit of a mini upset. But either way, off a lightweight, I'd expect first to Boogie to easily outrun his odds in that per tent qualifier.
Race number three.
On to the Banks race then at 2:30, which is the P.P. Hogan Memorial Cross Country Chase, and it sees a whole plethora of horses who got experience over these obstacles before, and probably one or two of them will be going to the Cheltenham Festival, none more so than Ballybroker Bridge, who of course is a regular in these particular events. And he won this race last year, on to going on to finish fifth at the Cheltenham Festival behind Josie's Orders. On his early start this season, he was run up to Cantlow, who very much is the barometer with regards cross-country form either side of the Irish Sea at the moment. But back in third that day is my selection here this afternoon, and that's Avignon, also trained by Edna Bulger. Now, I do like this horse. I think he's got plenty of promise for the future. He's only a young horse, but of what I've seen of him so far, he looks a talented individual. Indeed, he was showing what talent he has got at Cheltenham last time out, but unfortunately, unseated rider, rather clumsy error at probably one of the most smallest obstacles and innocuous fences at the Presbury Park venue, and he unseated rider when going extremely strongly. Hopefully, that mistake won't have affected his confidence too badly. And I do think he's got an excellent chance today if he can jump a clear round. So Avignon, each way around about 9 to 2, 4 to 1 is the choice there in race number 3.
Race 4.
On to the big race of the afternoon. And, well, not a lot can be said about this contest, because Duvan, as his odds imply, should set himself up perfectly for a tilt at the Champion Chase with another smooth victory. He's been faultless so far this season, winning at Cork by 22 lengths and indeed lowering the colours of subsequent Grade 2 winner Sizing John on his last start in the Paddy Power Cash Card Chase at Leopardstown. He really is a dominant force in this division, and defeat is absolutely unconsidered, barring accidents. On strict interpretation of the form and the ratings, while Smashing should be the one to chase him home in theory, although perhaps Real Moore could have something to say about that in a smaller way, because I don't think he's probably capable of outrunning his odds. He's a decent horse on his day, Real Moore, and he's got a fairly high cruising speed, so it wouldn't surprise me if he at least gave Smashing a race anyway for the second place position. But it's all about Duvan, and as expected, he should come through with flying colours.
Race 5.
On to the 3:30 then, and the one that stands out here is Velocity Boy, who was a bit of an expensive failure last time out when he tipped up going well at the second last at Nace. Now, on that occasion, he was held up at the back door, which seemed a bit of a strange policy by Barry Cash to adopt, because the time before he rode in really aggressively at Downrall, and those tactics almost worked the Oracle, but he was just nabbed in the closing stages by Last Goodbye. Now, the form of that race looked really solid in the context of this. Backing through was Burgas, Art of Payroll was fourth, so you could tell that contest it was a quality affair, and Velocity Boy, for 9/10 of it, had it by the short and curlies. Now, I presume that, I'd hope anyway, that Barry Cash adopts a similar policy to what he did that day and really send this horse on in front, because if he does, it could be very, very difficult to catch. His jumping seemed fairly sound, despite that fall last time out, and I expect this horse to justify favouritism in the 3:30.
Race number 6.
On to the Grand National Trial, which comes up at 4 o'clock. And last year's winner, Bonnie Kate, looks the one here to potentially follow up that victory at 12 months on. She was hugely impressive that day when she beat Bayes Desail, And she comes here off the back of an excellent run when finishing third in what turned out to be a very strongly run Thyestes this season. Now, the winner of that race, Champagne West, is going to the Gold Cup. So any horses that have got within hailing distance of a horse now rated in the 160s has got to be on the shortlist for a race of this nature. I presume that Sean Flanagan will try and make the run in again, once again with Normeach Charge, because that's when she's at her best, bowling along and pinging her fences. And when she gets into a good rhythm, gets an uncontested lead, she's very, very dangerous. I do think Bays the Deal is also worth a look at a much bigger price. He ran well, of course, in the Welsh National behind Native River, justifying his trip over the Irish Sea. And we know that he goes really well at this track as well, having chased home Bonnie Kate in last year's renewal. Available back at a decent price this morning, Bay de Zeal would look as though he is the each-way alternative to the Jolly in the penultimate contest.
And the final race.
On to the final race then, and this looks to be a very, very informative affair, potentially. Of course, we've got Willie Mullins' Clitandre in this particular contest, and based on what Willie said in his column yesterday, this fine big five-year-old is fit and well and ready to go, according to the master trainer. And having, of course, finished second in a decent point-to-point and coming from such a powerful stable, he very much could be the one to follow in the footsteps of Battleford, of course, who went on to take this contest before finishing second at the Cheltenham Festival. But he is up against one or two nice horses in the shape of Derry Ross and Judgment Day, and indeed Oakley Hall. And it wouldn't surprise me if he was given a particular examination by either one of those three. Of the three, I do think Oakley Hall is probably the most likely to put it up to the favourite, having finished second on his first two starts. He just looks as though he's lacking a little bit of tactical knowledge at the moment, based on his two performances so far today. But Oakley Hall is a nice, strong stayer, and if the favourite does come unstuck, then he could be the most likely beneficiary with Jamie Codd in the plate. Thanks very much for listening to this edition of the Irish Racing Podcast. Hopefully you have a good punting afternoon. Please do tune in again for the podcast, which comes up this coming Friday at Dundalk. Until then, it's goodbye from me for now.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.